This is a lecture given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website, stdave.org.
Good morning. How are y'all doing today? All right. Good deal. So, yeah, as Rebecca mentioned, y'all hear me okay? Is that okay? Not too echoey. So I am also, she might mention, husband, father, and beekeeper. And I think a lot of times when we think of contemplation or contemplative practice, we tend to think of something we do by ourselves, maybe alone, in quiet. And so, and that's, I think, all, a big part of what contemplative practice is. But I also want to suggest that it can be a practice, or any practice, that brings us into a place of deeper resting in ourselves, okay? And also within the presence of others and within the presence of God, what allows us to kind of take a breath? Can you do that? So I want to start off with us taking a breath this morning, actually. So if you want to, you're welcome to close your eyes, but I just want us to invite us to move inward for a minute and just start to notice our breath today. And start to notice the rise and the fall. The filling and the emptying. I want to invite us to begin to just welcome whatever you notice today in your body, any pain or discomfort. Just begin to welcome it. Any emotion, everything can have a place today. Any thought. As you breathe, I want to invite us to begin to let go together. To let go of any sense we have to control or manage or carry things by ourselves. Starting to let go. As we breathe this morning, we experience our breath rise and fall. Start to become aware or curious of God's presence today, as close as your breath. Become aware that every part of you is held this morning in complete acceptance. Even the parts that we find unacceptable, God is actively accepting without qualification, without effort. Just take another couple slow, deep breaths at your own pace. Continuing to welcome, continuing to let go. Allowing this sense of acceptance to fill our whole body this morning. As you're ready, you can start to slowly open your eyes. Amen. So I find, personally, we could just do that all morning, right? I actually am pretty okay with sitting in God's presence and just resting in God's love. Or I should say I'm less bad at that than other things. But I think many of us struggle to find that same rest in relationship with others. So that's in relationship with ourselves. So So what I thought would be kind of fun is to look at the way contemplation interacts with our relational connection. And so a couple weeks ago, I came across a prayer that Jesus prayed for his friends in the whole world. And it's his kind of prayer for unity. And this prayer has always bothered me. And anytime, I don't know if you're like this, you notice something that bothers you and you're like, oh, I should lean into that, right? I don't know if your brain is miswired in the way my brain is. So we're going to kind of lean into contemplation as a relational practice through the scripture today of John 17. We're going to look at a passage. But also we're going to do a couple of experiences today. So that's where we're going. Does that sound okay? Yeah. Okay. Cool. So our topic really raises the question, how do we choose to focus on what we have in common and connect rather than focusing on what's desperate, disparate, or dissimilar and splintering us? I was in a process group of about 20 people a couple weeks ago, and the moderator said, we're going to play a game. And I don't know if you're like me, but whenever I hear that, I'm like, oh, no, no, kill me now. It's like, get into groups of three, and one person will be the sharer, and they said, you know, raise your hand if you want to be the sharer, which obviously I passed on that. And then another person will be the discerner who asks distinguishing questions, which I thought, oh, like, I can do that. That's kind of part of my work. But, you know, I'm an introvert, so I'm thinking about it. So by the time I thought to raise my hand, someone in my group had already volunteered, of course. And so then the third job was going to be the resonator. And I thought, dear God, no, no. But that was all that was left. So the resonator will be the one to imagine what it feels like to have the experience of the person sharing, and then just connect with that person out of that place of resonating. So I kind of just sat and I listened to the person who shared about their resistance to this game and how stupid it was. And I thought, oh, I can get on board with this. Like, I'm like, this is easy, you know. And then they started to talk a little bit about, though, they didn't really believe that if they share what they really felt, like if we knew what was really going on in their mind, that we would still be able to accept them. And I thought, oh, I get that. And so I just kind of tried to, I was like, I get that. And more with eye contact probably than words. And then I checked in, did I resonate? And they're like, yeah, you did great. So I want to start us off with a question to consider. Do you consider yourself more of a discerner or a resonator? So when someone's sharing, do you kind of notice the ways you're different from what they're sharing and maybe kind of distance or kind of see that, oh, this is not me? Or do you find yourself trying to relate and find a point of connection? Okay? So this is going to be a little participatory. If you're comfortable, I'd like you to turn to someone near you and just answer that question. Okay? So you might have to scooch in, if that's okay. If you really just don't want to, that's okay. Like, you don't want someone in your space, I totally understand. But, yeah, you can move chairs around, whatever you need to do. Yeah. Okay, this is good. I hate to interrupt. I'm going to slowly call us back to, yeah, so kind of wrap up your thought and we're going to circle back. Cool. So do you tend to merge with, sorry to interrupt, y'all are having a really good conversation. It's probably the most important thing happening and I'm interrupting it. How many tend to be more of a discerner? You tend to differentiate when someone's sharing with you, would you say? A few people? Okay. And there's no judgment. Like, both are necessary. We just happen to be focusing on resonance. How many people your default is to resonate with someone when they're sharing with you? Okay. So you're kind of looking for that commonality first. Okay, great. So I mentioned that I tend to be pretty good at discernment and differentiation, about being able to perceive nuance, how things and people are not the same. And so, of course, I read our passage, which we're going to read in a minute, and I was like, great. It's all about focusing on our similarities, on what we hold in common, on being one, and I'm just not super great at it. So my only really goal for our time today is to not make a passage that's about unity into something that's about how we're different. Does that make sense? I'm going to try not to do that, but I probably will do a little bit of that too. So one of the ways I really find helpful to think about unity or the oneness that we'll find in Jesus's prayer is through the idea of resonance. And resonance is the quality in a sound of being deep, full, and reverberating. Isn't that a great word? So I'm going to read the first half of this passage I'm going to look at today. And we're going to look at it through this lens of being with one another in a deep, full, and reverberating way. And so we're going to also see, I think, as we do that, the contemplative experience. We'll get to the picture in a minute. Contemplative experience invites us to resonate with ourselves and one another. So, and I've kind of translated when Jesus talks about oneness into this concept of resonance. So I invite you to read. You can kind of listen as I read. You can close your eyes. But just imagine this prayer being prayed over Jesus' friends. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be in resonance. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be in resonance as we are in resonance, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely resonant, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So it's kind of cool. There's this sense of oneness or resonance throughout this kind of deep prayer or longing that Jesus has. And it says, all of this is so that we may believe. And a really great word for believe is trust. Which I also take to mean, when I really think about trusting someone, it's like relaxing into something bigger, relaxing into a bigger story. So one way to think of this passage is, may you practice resonance so we can relax into a bigger story together. You can kind of take that breath again. Like, what if that's what faith is really about, right? So both resonance and dissonance or differentiation are necessary, as I said. And so I want to kind of just differentiate for a minute, though, because I think we've all experienced problems with resonance that have not included healthy dissonance, if that makes sense. So I want to just start off nuancing a bit the differences. So I think a lot of us have experienced false resonance at some point, where we collapse our meaningful differences and create kind of a forced oneness, right? It's like, oh, I know exactly how you feel about your loss because I lost my keys the other day. It's like, you know, not the same, but we've all been told things where people are trying to connect and they've flattened those differences in ways that have been really hurtful, right? This is kind of what has happened a lot of times in the conversation, even around race in the last few years, that this it's been necessary to, I think, affirm that Black Lives Matter, Brown Lives Matter. And I would say, like, the response to that of, like, all lives matter would be like a false resonance, if you want, like, a really concrete example. Because we all matter, and yet when spoken in response to unique pain, it makes me wonder, why is it hard to acknowledge that though there is human pain, not all pain is the same? Each pain needs to be honored uniquely as God does. And without acknowledging each pain has a context that is valid and different, like we gloss over and it remains unhealed. Does that make sense? So, and it actually reinforces oppressive systems by kind of reinforcing blindness and ignorance. So that would be an example. When false resonance happens, our experiences are minimized and flattened. And then it's really natural to swing the other way, right? So that would be false dissonance. So this is the elevation of our differences to the point that no bridge of connection can be formed. Have you ever felt that? Like you've been hurt and then you've just decided, you know what? Nobody's ever going to understand, so why even bother? Like, why even bring it up? Every time I bring it up, it just hurts, and nobody validates it. Nobody responds in the way I need to be responded to, right? So that gives us this sense that in this, I think for a lot of us, for a lot of years, can feel trapped with our pain and feel like I'm just alone to figure this out on my own. Maybe me and God, or maybe it's just me. And I think this happens when I become convinced that unless you have the exact kind of injury or experience I've had, then we cannot relate and there's no point in trying. And this is where I think bridges of connection are sometimes burned prematurely. I think it's, to me, sometimes false dissonance is a necessary response to false resonance. Does that make sense? So when someone try to say, oh, I totally know what you're feeling, and then they say something really hurtful. Or I've been the person that said something really hurtful, and it's like, oh, I'm so regretting I shared that with you. We can swing all the way to that kind of false dissonance. So this, and this kind of creates that kind of sense of tribal resonance, which I think, unfortunately, the church and organized religion is really good at. We're winning. No. So we're like devastatingly good sometimes because it's like we've encountered dominant culture and said, okay, since you're creating us and them and won't admit it, I'll see your binary and raise you a more rigid binary, right? We're winning. Sorry. We just become part of the machine when we do that, right? We might need to do that for a minute to dissonate in a false way, but at some point we should swing back to the middle, because if we don't, we miss the possibility that Jesus is pointing to of finding a resonance with God and self and others that begins to break the invisible structures that erode dignity and beauty. So true resonance brings connection. It dissolves power structures that erode that beauty and dignity. And any binary camp that we camp out in actually insulates our pain from re-injury, but it also insulates us from deeper healing. So I came across a really good example recently of tribal resonance that's more neutral. Have any of y'all seen the documentary called Too Funny to Fail? It's like about the Dana Carvey show, which I don't know if any of y'all ever saw it. But it's basically why it's like a train wreck in tribal resonance. Essentially, it's comedians that got together and they created a show that was just to their taste, to the exclusion of everyone else. And so I'm going to share a clip on that, and hopefully you can hear it. Okay.
Bell thought it was really funny. They had no problem with their name being associated with Bill Clinton breastfeeding kids.
That was the clip.
We had that conversation that networks are supposed to have, which is the, well, do you know what your people do what they do for a living, or do you tell them, as the network, because you're paying the bills, no, we are not doing that.
We hope that the audience embraces it and is ready for this kind of thing. This show is for those sleepy little baby boomers who have little kids now and can't stay up, who really want counterculture humor. Well, you got it now, mister.
We're not going to see the clip, don't worry.
It's a sort of feeling of, no, we're right and you're wrong, and you'll see after we do this that we're going to love this, and this is the right way to go.
The night of the premiere, we watched it like at a restaurant bar with the cast and crew, and they're showing it like a film premiere. We did the greatest ever, you know, all happy, singing and dancing. I'm doing square dancing with Steve Carell.
I didn't know there was any scuttlebutt in terms of the choice to lead off it. I thought it was hilarious.
You know, remember Robert and Louie just hugging and crying and stuff, just to kind of the show they wanted to do, and
Lou was like, you know what I really like about this breastfeeding thing? It's like drawing a line in the sand right away. You're either with us or you're not. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. It was the absolute last thing we should have done was draw a line in the sand. Something like 6 million people deserted the show within the first, I don't know, 5 minutes.
In retrospect, it's kind of remarkable that we got about so many people to do the same thing all over the country at exactly the same time. Like a stupid show. It's just 6 million people.
I bought the VCR just for the Dan Carvey show. You just kind of knew, like, wow, this speaks so to me, and my taste is so marginal that there's no way it's going to last. So you had to tape it, you know, before it disappeared.
Which it did. after not even making it through a full season. So I think there's a lot of reasons why we stop resonating with one another in a true way. I think our pain, our trauma, our feelings of exclusion get in the way. And yet our healing comes when we gather our courage and start to try again. So I want us to play a game. And I know, great, right? So it's not going to be as painful as the game I played, but and you can totally opt out of this, okay? So totally fine. If you're comfortable pairing up maybe with the person you were just paired up with, or if you weren't before, I'm going to invite you to practice resonating with yourself and another person, okay? Are we feeling excited? No. It'll be fine. Very low bar. And I'm going to give you like a really easy way to do this. So when we pair up in a minute, I'm going to explain it and then I'll walk you through doing it, okay? I want you to take a minute to think about what's it like to be me right now? And what's it like to be me becoming aware of what it's like to be me? And what's that like? Okay, so see if you can identify a feeling or emotion with where you're at right now. And then in a minute, you're going to share that with someone. Again, if you opt in, and they're going to just listen to you, just share, what's it like to be you? They could ask you that if you want them to ask the question, okay? And then the person listening after a minute's going to just be trying to resonate and imagine what that feels like and just say, it sounds like you're really, makes sense to me that you're feeling or experiencing blank. Okay? Any questions? Okay. So go ahead and pair up. And actually, if you're the listener, go ahead and ask the person, what's it like to be you today? Okay? And then we'll switch after a minute. So go ahead and get paired up.
So what I'm here, I guess, is so.
Okay, take one more moment and then be sure to switch if you haven't switched, listener and sharer, okay? Just take a minute and switch roles. You just take one more minute. Be sure everybody got a turn. So take one more minute to wrap it up. Okay, let's start to kind of regather a little bit. So I want to hear just briefly, how was that for you to be the resonator? So what was that like? Anybody want to share? What did you notice? Did anybody find it uncomfortable, or was it pretty natural? Felt natural, felt good, yeah.
It's natural when you trust them, you're talking to
them. Okay, so if you know the person, you trust them, it feels more natural, yeah.
If there's a quality of listening that's required, that's yeah.
Yeah.
To do the third part.
Yeah.
You've really got to be full on listening
yeah.
to the other person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's something I think we probably will all struggle with.
Yeah. So there's a quality of listening, knowing if what you're doing is, if your intention is to give someone the experience of feeling heard and feeling resonated with, it changes the way you listen.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. How did it feel to be resonated with? Did anyone have a good experience of someone kind of reflecting your experience, or you felt like they were really with you in it? Yeah. Okay. Good job. So y'all are like making the, you know, this is Jesus' prayer like happening. It's really good. So Jesus really seemed to think that when we experience a oneness with ourself and the other, there's something of God in that. There's something of the divine. So my sense is that contemplative resonance transmits God's essence. In the next part of the passage, and again, you can close your eyes or just listen and read along. Jesus said, "The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see your glory, which you have given me because you have loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know you, know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. He says, the world does not know you, but I know you. And together, there's in Christ's body, we're in this knowing that he has of us and the Father. There's this intimacy. And the two things that really stand out we get to know in this passage are, one, our glory, that we receive the glory of God, which really is, it really means like you're in an intrinsic value or a worthiness. So in resonance, we experience our worthiness of love. Jesus says he's given us the intrinsic worthiness he has received. So even when our life isn't that great, God actually sees us as worthwhile. How many feel pretty unimpressive most of the time? And none of that affects God's affection for us or his sense of worthiness. On your best day, that doesn't even affect God's sense of whether your worthiness of love. Like, you've not increased it, and you can't add to it, you can't take it away. It's just there. Like, it just exists. That this is the glory that we've received, which is God's glory, our intrinsic value. It's pretty awesome. Like, if you just really, like, let that in, it's pretty amazing. And then he says, so that the world may know that you've sent me and have loved them in the same way that you have loved me. Before the foundation of the world, the cosmos, or the universe, you were loved. So when we resonate, there is this transmission, right? So I think for many of us, if you grew up and your caregivers were mostly loving, it's not as hard sometimes to receive this idea that God loves you and actually likes you. Like, it's kind of cool. A lot of us, though, our experience wasn't that great. And if the transmission you received when you resonated was more like pain and trauma, then you learn that resonating is dangerous and I need to keep it at a distance. Yet, resonance is also the way that love and value are transmitted. Like, that's what Jesus is saying. It's through our resonance we come to understand how much we're worth and how much we're loved. And if we've cut off resonance, we're not able to receive the reality of who we are. Does that make sense? That's why this is so important. And then I think it's also, so just to kind of stay with that, resonance is also necessary for our brains to rewire. Like, our brains can change dramatically over time as we heal, but it takes time and practicing. Do you know how fast our brains transform, by the way? Some of y'all may know this. It's 1 millimeter a month. Like, that's how long it takes for a neuron to grow. That's the rate a neuron grows. So we are learning a lot about how there's neuroplasticity and all this, but it still takes time. And sometimes I think, if you think about your own spiritual growth, does it feel like about maybe a millimeter a month? Or a year? Maybe it's a year. I don't know. I mean, to me, that's very validating. Like, that's about what my spiritual growth looks like. It might be more 1 millimeter a year. But this kind of oneness that Jesus is speaking about is not just with ourselves. It's not just with one another or just with God, it's also with the whole world. Like, that idea, world is the cosmos or the universe. That includes the earth. Deep resonance with other people will include a deepening resonance with the land and our food source and the other creatures among us. So I want to show a little clip. How many of y'all have seen The Biggest Little Farm? This, yeah, so good. Really, I recommend watching it. But it's a really beautiful film about people attempting to resonate with the earth in a sustainable way. So let me see if I can figure out how to pull this up. Oh, that's it. Sorry. Let's try it again. Okay.
This all started with a promise that we'd leave the big city and build a life in perfect harmony with nature. Like a traditional farm from the past.
Here we are, apricot-laying farms.
Molly and John are very happy about this.
What do you think of this, Todd?
This is what we're fighting.
Our version of a farm would be different. Plants, wildlife, livestock, all working together. Here they are, Emma the pig and Mr. Greasy the rooster. Friends for life. We wanted to believe that everything had a purpose. We had our plan. And nature had hers.
This feels overwhelming.
But even the past had a role to play. And these are the opportunities that fuel our farm. Was crazy. And sometimes they were right.
Breaking news in California, 6 major wildfires.
I can see a lot of stuff.
We're starting to face new problems.
Okay, we're down, and I just pray.
We just don't have answers for them.
No, no.
So very well, well worth seeing. So I want to kind of close us today just with another practice. So in the same small group I was in a few weeks ago, trying to practice resonance, I was imagining what each person was feeling, and I heard a young guy, younger than me, share about his journey of learning how to just deal with what it meant for him to be male, to be a man, a guy, a dude, you know, all these younger kind of terms. And what he shared was that he realized kind of recently he's actually a sensitive person, and none of the maps for being male allowed for that sensitivity for him. Does that make sense? Like, it wasn't okay that he had emotions, that he was sensitive, because he was perceived as like a dude, a guy. And what was really beautiful, though, in that group is he was just able to say, but I want y'all to know I'm a sensitive person. And I was like, oh, he's feeling like so much courage it took him, like, just to say that. And then it's like this group where anything can kind of happen. It always freaks me out. But then someone looked at me and they saw me probably smiling. And they said, Jason, I wonder what you're feeling right now. And it's like, oh, no. Like, you caught me. And I was just flooded. And I just said, I don't almost have words. I said, love, compassion. I was like, admiration, that he had the courage to say that. And I kind of imagine in that moment, that kind of sense of being flooded with empathy, that's kind of my sense of what it means that God is resonating with us. That maybe I was feeling something of God's abiding love in that. And so I began to just imagine, what if God was resonating with us right now? with what's happening in our lives. And what would it be like for us to come into contact with that? So I want to lead us through just one more practice today. And this is a contemplative practice of just becoming aware of God's resonance with us today. So if you want, you can close your eyes again. And maybe just start to take a couple more slower, deeper breaths today. Just notice your breath, wherever it's at. I want you just to begin to imagine that God's present with you and is aware of how you're doing and actually cares. And I'm going to list a few, maybe emotions, that you might need to experience resonance with God around. And if I say something that really connects with you, just stay with that and stay in that place of God resonating with you. Might be today I'm needing some resonance around compassion, like of something difficult happening. Like maybe you need to just know somehow that God really is like, oh, I understand, I get it, I'm not judging you. Acceptance. I've got you. I won't let you go. Excitement. I see your joy, I love it. Maybe God's dancing with you around something really beautiful. Grief. Yeah, I get it. I won't leave you to face this alone. Peace. Let's just breathe together today, right where you're at. Just as you are. Sadness. Sometimes life just kind of sucks. And you don't have to like it. Sometimes it's just really hard. Love. You're so worthy and easy to love. You're not too much. I'm sorry for any voice that ever told you otherwise. Loved, loved. You are loved. Just resonate with God being with you today. Again, just start to follow your breath. Becoming aware of the rise and the fall, the filling and the emptying. Becoming aware that every part of who you are is accepted today. We pray all this in the kindness of the Father, the tenderness of the Son, and the beauty of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right, thank you guys. If y'all have questions, I know some of y'all probably need to get to something, but if you want to ask any questions about any of the things, I can respond. I may not have answers, but I can have some question and respond for a minute. And no pressure either. Yeah.
I says thank you for, I have this deep-seated prejudice against John.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm resonating. Yeah.
So seeing these quotes from John is, puts a whole other light for me on his writings.
Yeah.
Whoever John was.
Yeah. He's the most beloved, apparently.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I've been reflecting on how he always, when Peter's in the mix, he names himself as the one Jesus loved the most. Whoever the author is of John. I wonder if the author felt insecure around Peter. Yeah, I'm glad that it brought maybe some relevance. Yeah. Anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that movie out right now?
Yeah, I think it's at Violet Crown.
Oh, it's
in Alamo. Yeah, I think it's still out. Yeah, it's so worth seeing. It's like just really good heart, good feel good movie. Yeah. Great. Well, thanks for being willing. Yeah, yeah. You're welcome.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.